are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I am your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Hollywood, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Hint, question reality. Very clever there. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment business. We have guests on that provide advice and tips and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Now, our guests work in various professions of the entertainment business, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you're interested. So you have to listen to every single show forever and ever. If you want to check out the past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, and that address is latalkradio.com. Now, if you're already listening to the show live, you're there, just take your little eyeball up to the top of the website and click on the link that says Channel 1. You scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click the link. And this will take you directly to the archive page, and there you can view a whole list of all of our past guests, and you can download the shows right to your computer. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box on iTunes, and there you go, all of the shows from 2008 onward. And if you want to find out about our future guests, you want to go to our official Question Reality website, and that address is questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. And I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you, thank you, thank you. My God, our show, thanks to you, has become so popular. We are always booked 6 months to a year in advance. Right now, I'm already booking for the last day, the last Sunday in March, and I'm about to start booking for April. So I'm like, oh my God, I just love it. It's just, it makes my job so much easier. It's just, the show just happens to be great and people are just swarming to get on. So I love that. I don't have to hire someone to go out and book the talent. So you're saving me so much money. Thank you so much. But yeah, great people. I get emails practically every show telling us how wonderful it was or how people were helped. I got a wonderful email from a lady named Nichelle last week who had a question about her career, which I am going to address next week on next week's show. I want to do a little research for her. So we have, without further ado, talking about that, we have a wonderful guest for you today, as we do every week. And his name is Mark Bessinger. And I hope I'm saying that right. It could be Bessinger or Bessinger. He will reprimand me shortly. He is a filmmaker, and I want you to go to his website and check it out while we're doing the interview. The website is blackflamingopictures.com. You can tell what I was watching last night, right? Blackflamingopictures.com, or it could be Black, because it's B-L-A-K-K. FLAMINGOPictures.com. I really should ask these people how to pronounce these things, shouldn't I, instead of just pronouncing them of my own free will. It could be Black Flamingo Pictures. It could be Block for me. It could be Block. We don't know. But it's BLAKKFLAMINGOPictures.com. And we're going to find out from Mark the correct pronunciation. But go there and check out his website so you can see all of the interesting things that he's doing. But I'll just tell you a little bit about him. He is the co-founder of a gay horror film production company called, here we go again, I could be wrong, Black or Block Flamingo Pictures. He is about to release his first film called Bite Marks. Oh my God, didn't we love those in the 80s? Which is a vampire horror movie. And it is going to be released in the next couple months, I would believe, and he's already started being accepted into film festivals. He has been featured in Fangoria, which is huge, which is like the biggest horror magazine ever, and I think there's a collection of them. Not a big horror fan. I know he's not going to hear that, but I might become a big horror fan after I talk to him. We'll see. He's also busy working on his next horror film, so we're going to find out what that film is. So without further ado, let's say hi to Mr. Mark Bessinger. Hi, Mark!
Hi, Priscilla.
All right, now it's time to reprimand me. Is it Bessinger or Bessinger?
It's Bessinger, like bike messenger,
Bessinger. Okay, I think I got it right the first time.
And you did really. Yeah, I was impressed. A lot of people get it wrong.
Yeah, here you go. And the website, is it blackflamingopictures.com or Block?
It's Black. We just sell it with two Ks.
Okay, I am rolling here. All right. Now, first of all, I want to thank you so much for being here, taking your Sunday when you could be flitting around on your yacht or rollerblading or whatever fun thing that you do on a Sunday. Thank you so much for being here to help our audience figure out what they want to do with their life, Mark.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. My Sunday afternoons are usually spent waking up in some assorted alley, but I was happy to get up early and find a telephone where I could do this.
Well, hey, at least you had an alley. I remember a couple times in the 80s, I was actually underneath the truck's head.
Of being underneath trucks.
Hey, I see a film coming now. I see that in a horror film.
You're right. Copyright 2011, Mark Bessinger, Black Flamingo Productions.
I can see it. I need my credit now. Now, I start every question off with kind of the same question, a little different today, but people like to know how – when people are successful, a lot of times I'm asked, did these people always know what the hell they wanted to do, or did they want to do something else? So I start my questions off with, when you were daydreaming as a child about your career, what were you doing? Who did you want to be? What did you want to do?
I wanted to be a werewolf, but there was too much angst and not enough money, so I rapidly changed over to making films. I always wanted to make movies ever since I was a little kid.
Well, you're doing better than me. I wanted to be Bruce Lee. So I wanted so bad to be Bruce Lee. Oh, you don't even know. It's something sick, only to be discussed with the psychiatrist. But yeah, so a werewolf is good. So I think we could hang out. We'd be normal together. It would be
tough. Yeah, I think so. We can walk down the street with our heads held high.
Yeah, we're weird. It's okay. Now, did you have support from your family and friends when you told them? I imagine at a young age, if you knew you wanted to be a werewolf, I'm sure that it had something filmy related that you were doing. So did you know a little bit later after the werewolf thing that you wanted to make film?
And what happened was, it all started when I was, digging through our hall closet one day, and I found my mother's old Super 8 movie camera. So there was actually a cartridge of film in it, and I went out and with my brother and my cousins, and we shot these silly little movies. And we always had the best time. You'd take them in and get them processed. Like 2 weeks later, you'd get the film back, and we'd set up the projector and, show the movie on the wall. Whenever we had family get-togethers, we'd always show them to everybody. And it was always a lot of fun. I always really, really enjoyed doing that. And as I grew older and started wondering, started thinking seriously about what I really wanted to do, and it just kept coming back to me that I liked writing. I liked making these visual pieces of entertainment, and it just, that's kind of what I kept finding myself gravitating toward. Now, my parents, were always the more sensible people. So they were like, oh, you should have something to fall back on, blah, 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 blah. So when I started college, my father actually got me to go into college with a journalism major in mind, but I very quickly realized that was not going to do it for me. And so I started seriously looking, going back to looking back at making movies again. And
did you finish did you get the degree and just, or did you decide, nope, that's not for me, and change your major?
I actually, I was in college for about 2 years, and I realized I started getting bored with it. This was back like in 1980, and the home video market was starting to boom.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually quit. I dropped out of college and opened one of the first video stores in southern Indiana.
Oh.
And after a year of renting movies, I just realized that I wasn't happy renting other people's movies to people. I wanted to be making my own. So
mm-hmm.
I sold the business after a year. I sold the business, went back to school, got my bachelor's in creative writing, and then went to film school.
Oh, where'd you go to film school?
I went to film school at Columbia College in Chicago.
And what was that, 2 years?
It was for like a master's degree, so it was like a
two-year
mm-hmm. program. But mm-hmm. I ended up moving to Chicago and stayed there for like 10 years before I moved up to California. But
and what were you doing cruising the south side of Chicago?
I rarely went to the south side.
But that's where you would get your real horror backgrounds for free.
Oh, there's plenty of horror. You just had to know where to look for it. I like my horror with all supernaturally, with crosses and pentagrams, and not switchblades and, you know, hey buddy, how much money you got there in your wallet? So I tried to stay on the north side.
The north side. Okay. All right. When were you? Did you decide to? What were you doing when you were in Chicago after you got your degree?
I just kind of bummed around, really. I spent most of my time thinking of developing stories, writing scripts. I actually shot a couple of very low-budget feature films, one of which I finished, but nothing ever really happened with it. And then the second one, I never got it finished. So that's kind of what I did, you know, my remaining days in Chicago.
I love that because that just for our listeners, they're thinking, oh, good. So he had some bum steers and he didn't finish things. And there's hope for me because a lot of people, it takes a lot of time. You're not going to make every single movie. It's not going to be perfection. So a lot of people think that they have to make the perfect film the first time, the second time, the third time, or their career is going nowhere. So you ended up successful, and you had a couple flops. So can you make the audience realize that's normal, right? That's what I've
always
said.
Well, I like to think so. It's like working your way through a giant maze. You know, you're not always going to find your way out. Sometimes you're going to hit a dead end, and you have to turn around and look for the next place to, you know, the next area to navigate into.
And you're getting experience. I mean, I don't believe that you can actually have perfection until you've achieved nothing but errors and mistakes for 25% of your life. I mean,
well, yeah.
You got to have it, right? The learning.
You're right. I mean, you can't learn everything from books and then go out and books in school and go out and do everything right. You know, you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah,
and hopefully you'll learn from those mistakes and
absolutely,
you know, incorporate it into your next effort.
Now, what do you feel, your personal feelings, of what are 3 to 5 characteristic traits that you feel that it takes to make it as a successful filmmaker?
3 to 5 characteristics.
Yeah, and let me tell you my thinking behind that. People think, and I don't know if you've come across these people, but in my lifetime, I have come across people who feel that they can do certain things, but they have, I believe that you have to have a personality that is conducive with your profession in some way. A lot of people feel that they can go into a profession
that case,
they
say,
have worse. You know what I'm saying? They don't, their personality doesn't match. They're not going to be successful. You can't be you can't go into being a mortician if you are a super gregarious ADHD ADD type personality. Do you see what I'm saying?
Not if you want to work on me, you can't.
Exactly. So what characteristic traits do you feel that it takes to be a successful filmmaker? Like, one, you have to be patient, I would imagine.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of time to scam people out of money to raise the budget.
Oh,
so, yeah, there's that pain. You really need to be creative. You really need to have an outgoing personality that allows you to network well. You've got to have that creativity, both, you know, because you have to have a good visual sense. Even though you usually work with a cinematographer, you do want the shot. The shots do kind of come from you and the flow of the movie. So there's that. I would say good communication skills, because what is going to make your movie successful or not is how well you communicate with your cast, with your actors, how well you communicate with your crew, letting everybody know what it is you want to get on the screen, and, you know, helping them help you get it there. So good communication skills for that is a must.
I think that's it. I think those are three to five. And now this one's going to be a little harder. Give me at least three to five traits that you feel that are not suited to be a successful filmmaker. As I just stated, if you're impatient, forget about it. If you're rude and short-tempered, forget about it. What else would you say? If you have these characteristic traits, you really should not expect to be too successful. You might end up being successful,
Basically, everything I'm going to say is probably the opposite of what I just said. I mean, if you're a loner, the type who doesn't play well with others, who doesn't get along well with other people, who thinks the world is populated with morons, you should probably go into you should probably be an executive at a film studio.
And what I wanted to get across with that question is that if you are coming into this and think that you're going to become a Steven Spielberg and you want that fame and celebrity and stardom and the money and the status, then this probably
that's the wrong reason.
The wrong reason. And a lot of people are coming out here and that's what they want, Mark. So that's what I was trying to get. If you love the art, the craft, it's for you. If you think about making pictures and thinking about creating a vision, it's for you, right? I mean,
the other thing for me is, I don't know if you ever saw the Tim Burton film Ed Wood, which was about Edward D. Wood Jr., who's generally considered to be the worst director ever in the history of film.
Right.
There's one line in the film where Johnny Depp, who plays Ed Wood, he's going through a rough patch, and he just kind of like, I think he's at a bar or something, and he just kind of like sinks his head into his arms, and he says, "All I want to do is tell stories." And that's basically what it is.
Exactly.
It's just about telling stories in a visual way.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's kind of what the whole deal is.
That's it. And Mark just said it in a nutshell. If that's what you want to do, then you are on the right path to being a filmmaker. If you want it for the money and the fame, you're going to have a hard road, honey child, when you come out here. Now, do you feel that there is a message in making horror films, or do you think it's just for sheer titillation, thrills, and chills that these studios are pumping them out at a rate of like three to five a month or something? What do you feel? Is there really a message in making horror films?
The studios are pumping them out because horror is hot now, and they want to make a buck. That's their reason for pumping them out. The reason for them being made, as far as like from the point of view of the producer or the director or the screenwriter, their point of view is, I think you're right on both counts. I think you're going to find movies that are basically just, they look at horror films as basically just roller coaster rides. There's no thought to it. You just want to, you know, get in, you know, have some scares, have some fun, make people scream, and then when they leave the theater, have them chatting about how great a time they had and maybe going and seeing it again.
That sounds very similar, Mark, to going and seeing pornography, doesn't it? You just described exactly what that's like, getting it in and going and blah, 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 blah. It's the same.
Well, I've always thought that there were some similarities between horror films and pornography. You know,
yeah.
Is that there? You know, when something scares you, you get that big emotional jump inside your body, which is kind of, I think, not unlike experiencing the Big O, you know?
Exactly. So,
but then going back to your other question, I think there are directors and people who do want to use the horror medium as a way to get a message across. I mean, if you look at some of the early films of, say, like George Romero, you could make the argument that Night of the Living Dead is about, the silent majority, which was kind of taking place in America at the time. Dawn of the Dead, the original Dawn of the Dead, yes, it's about zombies, but it's set in a mall, and George Romero is making this, he's making these sly observations about the United States and the United States population and mass consumerism. So there are, yeah, you can slip messages in there all the time. David Cronenberg does it. It's not all that uncommon, you know.
What are some modern horror movies that you feel have had a message?
I'm sorry, say it again?
What are some modern film, horror
modern
films? Yeah, modern, like today, contemporary films that have had a message. I know, you can't think of it either.
Yeah, that's good. I think maybe lately people are going more for the thrills, because that's ultimately what you want. I mean, you want people to have a good time, but sometimes I think people still are sneaking messages in there. I just can't think of one right off the bat.
Actually, I don't know if this is technically considered a horror movie, but I did see one. Oh, my God, I can't remember the name of it. But this movie was so scary, and I don't normally like horror movies, but this one was about a girl. You might have seen it, a little girl that this couple adopted. Oh, was it The Orphan? The Orphan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there was a message in that. Don't be adopting people when you don't do a full background check, even though that's so simple. That's a message. I mean, if it's that light, right?
That kind of message might be, I mean, it may not be message might actually, for that movie, the message might be something more along the lines of, be careful about letting strangers, into your life, and getting close to you.
Exactly. And listen to your wife always when she feels always and forever. The woman is always right. So, but yeah, that was probably the scariest movie that I, horror movie, I think. I'm not really, I don't really go to see them too much because I don't like the campy factor, but I did like that a lot.
Okay.
Now, what did you decide on? Why did you decide on making horror movies as opposed to other genres? Is it because the whole you saw yourself as the werewolf you always knew? And since you've always made, have you always made horror movies? And if not, what other genres have you delved into?
Pretty much, it, with maybe one exception, I've pretty much always dealt with just like the horror genre because I really love it so much. But being gay, I've also been making films about that feature gay characters and gay storylines. So because that's just a part of me, and that's something I like to make films about as well. But I think my heart lies with the horror. It's just something that I have always loved ever since a child. I've loved monsters. I've loved, watching people get scared and watching how a movie can manipulate a person and an audience and and into feeling things, you know, and just the fact that people go to these movies, you know, just to put themselves in a position where they're made to feel tense, nervous, uncomfortable, and they pay for it and they love it. And I think that's great.
We'll do anything for a thrill. Now, I did like the Nosferatu, the one that Malkovich did a couple years ago. Now, that was awesome. I did like that. I think it was
Shadow of the Vampire.
Is that what it was? John Malkovich was in it as the crazy director. It was about
a fictional version about the making of the film Nosferatu.
Yes.
And John Malkovich played F.W. Murnau, the director of Nosferatu. Yeah, that was a fun movie. That was a movie about what if the vampire in the film Nosferatu had been a real vampire.
Yes. I think that was a message.
That was good.
I think that was a message. There you go. Now, you were just briefly talking about being a homosexual filmmaker. What's the reaction been so far from the heterosexual, male-dominated horror viewership of your films?
Well, it surprisingly, or perhaps not so surprisingly, we've been kind of getting slapped down by that. For the most part, I'd say by the 12-year-old heterosexuals in the horror industry, or the older straight guys. It's like, you know, even though when I made Bite Marks, I knew I wanted to make it for both sides of the coin, so to speak. So not only do we have male nudity in it, but we've got female nudity, and I wanted to have something for everybody in there. But it just seems like, with some exceptions, I've got some reviews from some heterosexual horror sites that have been very good. But when you talk to, when you put on put stuff like the trailers on YouTube, it seems like you get the hetero haters who just want to throw up really nasty negative comments. And and I think it's also been kind of telling that when we submitted the film to film festivals, we tried to do it across the board. We submitted to a lot of gay film festivals, but we also submitted to a lot of just regular horror festivals. And it seems that maybe with one exception, we were turned down by all the regular horror festivals, while we've been, you know, strongly accepted by the gay ones.
Right, yeah. Would you say that, not knowing your films, not having watched any, but will after I get off this phone, are they, for people who don't know your work, would you say that your horror films are more of like, are they campy, but also have a sly social commentary? Or what would you say your films are like? What type of films do you make?
Well, I personally like horror films that have a good sense of humor about them. Mm-hmm. So I think there's always I don't know if I would say campy, but there's always like a strong sense of humor in my films, you know. And Bite Marks is actually, I would consider Bite Marks more of a horror comedy, because there is a lot of comedy in it. There are a lot of jokes in it and sight gags and stuff like that. But that is generally what I like. I do like to make people scream and laugh as well.
So what does your film Bite Marks have to say? Like what would you say the message is, if there is one, in Bite Marks? Like, what was the inspiration for the film, and was the inspiration that you originally had, did it come through completely by the end of the film with the editing process and blah blah blah? Was it what you saw? What were you inspired to make it by, and did you, was your vision created ultimately?
Originally my inspiration for it was, I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands of horror movies over the course of my life. And, you know, with maybe like just the rarest of exceptions, they're always heterosexually oriented. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, wouldn't it be kind of neat to have a horror film where maybe the lead characters were gay, but we're not going to make it overt. We're just going to treat it as though it's a regular horror film. There's just, these characters happen to be gay, and in that and so in doing that, we are sending out a message, a social message, but maybe slyly sneaking it in. And you know, with the point being is that there's nothing really different. There's a couple sex scenes in the movie between the two male lead characters, but I treated them. There's nothing any more explicit in there than you would see in an R-rated film between a man and a woman. I just wanted to like treat it, everything exactly the same. So that was kind of what I was thinking about going into this thing. And the other message too is that I truly believe that unless you're in some kind of special situation, I think it's really important for people to come out of the closet, because I think it the more visual or the more open we are and the more people see us, then the faster we'll get accepted by society. I think it's happening, but I just thought this could be just a way to kind of accelerate that. So in my movie, any character who's closeted or sexually confused dies.
I love that.
So in my movie, it's only the guys who are gay and out are the ones who are going to make it.
So is there a special way of offing them? How are you, or is it you took creative ways to get rid of those bastards? How did you do it?
No, it's a vampire movie, so most of the people get or die by vampire bite, but then once they become vampires, they get offed in various different ways.
Do they come against their vampires?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Oh, my God. Well, I love that. And I was just thinking about the name of your film, Bite Marks, and I am – oh, is it Bites Marks or Bite Marks? Why did I have an S on here? Bite Marks, right?
No, not Bite Marks. Bite Marks, yeah.
Oh, there was an S put in there. I think that's so creative. Why hasn't anyone thought of that before? Somebody would have to make vampire films. I'm not really sure who that would be. Who's like the best? Anne Rice. Why wouldn't Anne Rice think of Bite Marks? That is a genius name for a movie.
I don't know. I was really surprised myself when I came up with the title. I did a search on Internet Movie Database, and it wasn't there. And I was really surprised. It seemed like that was pretty obvious.
Yes, obvious.
And I'm always one for the obvious. So I thought, okay, well, I'll take it.
Obvious is the most genius, is it not? Obvious equals genius in my book.
Well, that's what I think, stand-up comics build their careers on. You know, they say, observational humor is merely pointing out the obvious.
Yes.
So if you can do that, and you're successful at it, then yeah, there's a why not?
That separates you from the it's simple simplicity is all it equals genius as far as I'm concerned.
And I think that's true for horror as well, because I think every day we find ourselves in situations that we may not realize the potential for harm until maybe later a horror movie might point that out. Like before Psycho, how many people thought that, taking a shower was so potentially threatening, could be so potentially threatening?
Right.
All the sex scenes you see in horror films. People are like, well, why are people always having sex in horror movies? Well, think about it. You're naked. You're focused on another individual or what's happening. So you've left yourself completely unaware for anything else that's happening in your immediate surroundings. So, of course, someone could be sneaking up behind you with a big knife while you're having sex, and you're not going to know because you're focused on something else.
It's a perfect opportunity. I say
exactly.
Go to all of the make-out spots, serial killers, and there you go. You got your feature quota for the night. Now, I want to get in the two questions that I chose, and I want to thank everybody for writing in emails to Mr. Wonderful, Mark Bessinger. I only picked two because I wanted to cover so many topics, and now that we're coming to the end of the road, I do want to get these two questions in. The first question that I chose is from, hold on one second, pulling it up. Okay, and this actually is going to fit perfectly in with what you were just talking about. Okay, this is from a gentleman named Garrett from Axtell, Kansas. I have never heard of that in my life. Okay, he says, "Dear Mark, I am a young man living in a small town, very conservative, and I haven't come out yet as my parents are very Christian. I want to make films more than anything, but haven't dared to pursue it. I don't know what your situation was, but if the same, or if you have any advice on how I can make a smooth transition," I think something's missing in that sentence, "I would appreciate your advice. Should I move out of town? Should I move out of this town? If so, should I head to New York or LA? Thank you, Garrett, Axtell, Kansas."
Wow, what a multi-layered question. I would have to say this. I mean, yes, my situation growing up was almost exactly the same. I had two very conservative parents. My father was a Baptist minister, and I was always, I mean, I did not come out to them until much later in life. I was in my late 30s, I think, when I finally came out to my parents.
And oh, my God, how many marriages did you have to go through to carry that persona?
None, but I came awful close. But, you know, and I have to say it did not go over, as smoothly as I had hoped, and I knew it wouldn't, but at some point I just was tired of it. I was in a relationship at the time, and I was tired of pretending that he was my roommate, and I just got tired of the stories. I just wanted to be who I was. And so I just had no choice but to tell them. And like I said earlier, when I said, I think, I want everybody to come out, but like I said, there are some certain situations, and obviously, while that is the ultimate goal, I think, everyone should reach for, it's not always going to be ideal for everyone in their situation. You have to go on a case by case basis. And I can't remember, did this guy say how old he was?
No, he said, I'm a young man living in a small town, very conservative, and his parents are Christian, and he wants to make films more than anything.
I'm gonna break that down into two answers. Then, as far as dealing with the gay part, I want to say, if I had stayed in my small town where I grew up in, I think it would have, as much as I'm so glad I grew up there as a kid. I think growing up in a small town as a kid is awesome. If you're in that situation and you want to lead the life that you need to lead to live, to be like a full fulfilled person, that's not going to be the place for you to do it. I think you need to move to a bigger city where people are generally more accepting of diversity and where you can meet more people like you and who can help you and all that. I think that's going to be more important. So yeah, I would have to say at some point, yeah, I do think he needs to move into another city. And then when he's fully, confident in who he is, maybe then that's the time to, tell the parents and maybe come back to the small town for a visit or something like that. But I have a feeling once he gets a taste of the big city, he's not going to want to go back.
No.
Now,
well,
as far as
With him being as young, how would he transition into the filmmaking?
Well, that's the other part of it.
Oh, okay.
As far as being a filmmaker and moving to New York or Los Angeles, that I'm not sure if I would recommend, because you have to realize that, well, speaking here in LA, I mean, you're going to bump into filmmakers everywhere. I mean, if you want to do something where you can, I mean, if you want to make a film, you can buy an HD camera for a couple hundred bucks these days. You can get editing software for your computer for a few thousand. It's not hard to set yourself up, with the equipment you need to do it. So it's just basically a question of getting the equipment, going out and shooting something. But going to Los Angeles or New York, where there are more filmmakers on every corner than 7-Elevens, there's just too much competition out here. And what you want to do is to be able to do something that's going to bring you notice and attention and set you apart from everybody else. So I would I think you're going to have much more success, you know, making a name for yourself, doing stuff in a big city other than perhaps, you know, L.A. or New York, just because it's easier to bring it, you know, to get that attention to yourself doing it. When I shot Bite Marks, I actually went back to Indiana to film it because I knew that we'd get better deals there and it'd be easier working conditions than out here. I mean, you know, out here, if you want to have someone walk down, film somebody walking down a street, you got to pay the people whose houses they're walking in front of. If you're capturing them on film, they're going to want money. So
it's ridiculous,
yeah,
out here.
It really is. I mean, this is a film, this is an industry town, and you know, and it's easier to do it someplace else. You can draw attraction to yourself. Maybe even go to a film. I would suggest going to a film school, learn the trade, make connections. That's the best way, I think, to start off. Because those
agree.
Connections are going to pay off later in your career.
I agree. Start out making the small films just like Mark did, and who cares if they're good or not. Just get the practice because you've got a long road ahead of you. So
right.
start
you
out
gotta,
in
you
a...
Gotta, you're going to turn out a lot of chaff before you get to that week. So
yes, exactly. And going to film school is great because you'll meet other people that are pursuing the same dreams. You can team up. It's better to work with someone than to work alone. So that's that. Hopefully that helps you, Garrett from Axtell, Kansas. I got
one
more
question. Yeah, good
luck to
you, Garrett.
Yeah, thank you. The next question comes from Benjamin from Badger, Minnesota. Where are these places? Badger, Minnesota. Okay. He says, "Dear Mark, I have heard so many I have heard so many titles for people who make films. Being from a small town, I don't really know the differences, if any, between a filmmaker, producer, and director. Can you finally clear that up for me? Everybody calls himself a filmmaker."
Well, I think we call ourselves filmmakers because it's kind of an all-encompassing title. If you're a producer, if you're a producer or a director, or you run a production company, you're a filmmaker. So it's like it's just kind of a blanket term to cover all these things. You know, director is obviously someone who takes the script and adapts it into their vision, getting their vision onto the screen. A producer is someone basically who helps the director do that by handling the hiring of the crew, raising the money for the production. Basically, that's the producer's job, is to kind of oversee the production and help the director get his vision on the screen, and dealing with more of the kind of dollar sign.
Thing. And there's many, many different types of producers. There's producers, executive producers, associate producers, et cetera, et cetera. So, and they all have different functions, and there can be many different producers on one film. There could be one producer. There could be co-producers. It's unlimited. It's just whoever the person who wants to make the film, how they decide to get it together and package it and put it together. Filmmaker is sort of like an all-encompassing term. You can be just a producer and call yourself a filmmaker. You can be just a director and call yourself a filmmaker, correct?
Exactly.
Right there.
Exactly.
So you could call, if you make a film on your little HD camera, you can call yourself a filmmaker because you made a film, right?
Right? Exactly.
One film equals a filmmaker. So thank you,
sure.
Benjamin Badger from Badger, Minnesota, and God bless Badger, Minnesota. I don't know where it is, but it sounds cold. Sounds cold and windy. Okay.
And
so
ferocious.
Yeah, it does sound. It sounds close to the Canadian border, though. So that's good. It's a good place to go to Toronto Film Festival. I don't even know I think Minnesota is in between Toronto and Quebec. But don't even get me around geography. That's not working. Okay. What's happening now? What are some of your upcoming projects? Let's get excited about it. What's going on?
Well, Bite Marks has been doing really, really well. We've been playing film festivals all year, and we've done remarkably well at them. The audiences have loved the movie, and so it's been a big success that way. We signed a distribution deal with Breaking Glass Pictures, and so the film's coming out on DVD on November 15th. They can pre-order it at the Breaking Glass Pictures website or on Amazon.com, and there's a couple other places, but those are the two main ones.
Let's say again, Breaking, I'm going to write this down myself, Breaking Glass
Breaking
website?
Glass Pictures.
Pictures. .com.
And Amazon, it's available for pre-order at both those places and at the TLA Video as well.
Or TLA, is that TLAvideo.com?
Yes.
Okay, and what about Netflix?
I'm sure it'll be going to Netflix at some point in the future.
Okay, and if we want to find out about that, I assume, go to your website to find out. You keep it updated? You got somebody handling that for you?
We do, so go to blackflamingopictures.com.
And it's B-L-A-K-K, B-L-A-K-K.
That is true, it's B-L-A-K-K. Also, we have a fan page on Facebook, which is probably the best place to find out about us because it is updated usually at least once or twice a day. We have all of our festival information is there. We're coming to Portland next weekend and Albuquerque and then Tampa the weekend after that. And we've got then we're coming to Chicago and Indianapolis. And if you're in Europe, we're in Florence, Italy, and Barcelona, Spain.
Now, when you say you're coming to people who might not understand that, can you explain what you mean by that?
The film will be screening at those cities.
So they're screening in festivals, is what he's talking about.
Right. It's not going to be playing like a week or 2 week long engagement. It usually plays one time as part of a festival. The best thing to do, like I said, is go to Facebook, do a search on Bite Marks, the movie, and like the page, and then that way you'll get constant updates on where the film's playing and where and DVD information and anything else that's with it.
I'm on there right now, and I see that you also have another page. Is it Black Flamingo? You have a page for that as well?
Yeah, we do have a page for Black Flamingo Pictures. I'm afraid that doesn't get updated very often.
So they should go to Bite Marks.
We kind of do go more to the website for that kind of thing, but Bite Marks is the page to join.
Yeah, I just joined. I'm a fan of Mark Bessinger. Yeah.
Yay.
So Fangoria, are you doing anything with them?
Yeah, Fangoria.com ran a two-part interview with me earlier this year on their Gaze of the Dead column. We just had another article on Fangoria.com here recently, and there's going to be something, I don't know what yet, but there's going to be something about the film in their upcoming Halloween issue.
Ooh, exciting. Well,
I can't
wait to watch it. I'm putting it right now on my calendar. Give me that date one more time that everyone will be available to watch Bite Marks.
It will be released on DVD on November 15th.
November, 12th, 13th, 14th. Oh, that's going to be 3 days after my birthday.
Yay.
Get a sign.
So everybody who's listening, buy one for Priscilla for her birthday.
Well, then if I get that many, then I'm going to turn around and resell them and get a little cash. Thank you so much.
Use them to build a little fort or something.
Okay. All right. So everybody check out my darling Mark Bessinger. His movie is Bite Marks, coming out November the 15th. And it will be available on the BreakingGlassPictures.com website, TLAVideo.com website, or on Amazon, which everybody can remember. So you can check it out.
It's available for pre-order now.
pre-order now. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show so much. And if you have anything exciting and ever want to come back on the show, I would love to have you as a guest. So if you got some.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and put me down now? Then in 6 months, something, I'll probably have something ready.
You know, we're joking, but I'm putting you down for that last date in March of 2012. Surely you're going to have something exciting going on by 2012 of next
year. Well, I hope so. I actually just finished another little short film that's actually playing before Bite Marks at some of these festivals. It's called Candy, and there's also a Facebook fan page for it if people want to do a search for it. It's Candy, a very short horror film.
C-A-N-D-Y.
Ooh. Yeah.
Candy.
It's a horror short, again, gay-themed. Okay. And this one's a little more serious than Bite Marks is.
Is it the girl and a guy on the front and he's holding her face? Is that the one? Because there's like four.
No, this one says Candy, a very short horror film.
Okay.
It's a close-up of a guy's face and he's holding a piece of candy in his fingers.
No, this is so weird. You got to check this out. If you type in candy in Facebook, this movie comes up with this guy and girl, but yet your movie is on the wall page. Bite Marks the movie, Portland, 1 week from tonight. Bite Marks plays at the Portland Lesbian and Gay Film Festival. So I don't know how you got on that page, but somebody posted on the wrong one.
Wow, Facebook has made a mistake. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, well, somebody posted it, one of your fans. Well, thank you so much, my darling Mark Bessinger. I appreciate you coming on and making us more wise to horror films. And
my pleasure.
And you were a thrill, and I just loved having you. You are the ultimate in guests. So I hope you put me on your list. I want to come to some of your premieres. So put me on.
Okay. What city? Oh, you're on the West Coast, right?
I'm in LA. I don't know why we're doing a remote show, because you could have just come into the radio station.
Well,
Well, we'll set you up for spring when I book
end of March.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening.
Thanks.
Bessinger, check out his film, Bite Marks, November 15th. Go to his website, blackflamingopictures.com. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Say bye, Mark.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.